can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to
We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today?
I'm actually not bad. It's been a pretty good week so far, recording on a Tuesday. I'm about to take off work for a week on Thanksgiving week, and I'm trying to keep myself out of complete vacation mode, so I'm actually keeping myself quite busy at work, and honestly, I feel pretty good. How about you?
I'm pretty good as well, yeah. It's my birthday on the day we're recording.
So that's right. Happy fucking birthday.
Yeah, I just turned 40. So, but no, it's been a good day. I mean, I had to go to work, but that wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't super busy. I actually signed up today for a data analytics certification through Google. So I started working on that today. And
That's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I need to get some, I need to have something that shows that I have the ability to do those things. Plus, it teaches me how to use R, and I don't really know how to use R. And I could be better at Tableau, so there's some things that I can learn. And I could be a lot better at SQL because I haven't touched it in, like, at least 3 years.
Oh, yeah, I'm there. I am not great. And it's mostly because I work with probably some of the most complicated data in the company. My department that I manage is the most complex breakdown of data, I think, because it's just insane.
Yeah, well, and that's where I need something that shows that I'm capable of doing those things outside of just me telling you that I can do those things on a piece of paper, because, of course, if we're moving to Minneapolis, I'll have to apply to jobs and the whole nine.
Yeah.
But no, actually, as far as, like, mental health has been, you know, honestly, it's not been bad at all. It's been, I think, having the election over with has brought me some peace, even though, like, there's a lot of tumult that's going to happen after this. But, like, I think it's, I've been in this kind of fuck it, wait and see. And then also, if things go south, I think at this point, I'm just in a big, like, I fucking told you so.
Yeah.
Mode.
That's kind of it. I'm just like, the signs were all there. We told you. This is your fault now. You are the reason democracy collapsed, and this, however old we are, project is done for. So that's on you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So I'm just at a point now where I'm like, you know what? Whatever. If it burns, I know that's a little callous to say, but I'm just like, if it burns, then it's going to be full on. I told you so. And hey, if we get to the point of like civil war, you know, I know how to make a Molotov cocktail.
I'm just going to be drinking wine, watching it all happen.
I was going to say, I know how to make a margarita cocktail too. I'm like, I can do two things. Get you a man who does both, and that's me.
Yeah. If you come in to kill me, I'll be drunk. I'm fine. Like, it's, yeah, it's kind of just a what the fuck ever.
Yeah, and I think it's been very much a relief just to have it done. I was more anxious before the election than I am now.
For sure. Yeah, and I definitely was anxious. Not knowing. I was definitely anxious, especially, I was very anxious because the polls kept going, oh, it's favorable to this. And I was like,
are you sure?
I don't know. We've had the polls before, and I'm just not going to depend on those.
Oh, no, they're complete bullshit most of the time. I've just learned that anything the news tells me, I'm over it at this point. Like, it's just all bullshit. It's all so much dust.
It is interesting being in this phase of life as a millennial where everything is just bullshit. Nothing matters. The things I used to put weight on, it just doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
All those laws, all those things that I used to think created a valuable person means nothing.
Exactly. And I think the fun part about that is I used to be we should practice forgiveness. We should really, you know, give people second chances. And I think in like the past 3 years, I've been a lot more ruthless in my mental health in doing things like, you know what? I cannot carry around hate for someone and also not interact with them ever again.
Yeah.
Those two things are not mutually exclusive.
You are like, not.
I can do both.
Yeah. I can give you up and not let you take space in my mind, but I also can do everything to never associate with you.
Yeah. I don't have to keep talking to you. And what? If you're going to continue to disregard my well-being at that type of level, I don't think I really need you. I don't think you're good for me. And I don't think you do love me. Because love is not like that. Love is not a word. Words are cheap. Words are flimsy. Love is actions. And that is the way that you should show love. And if you just think saying it is enough, well, you've got a Christian.
And honestly, you can be disappointed in me. You can talk smack on me behind my back because you're disappointed in my behavior towards you. And I don't care. That's the nicest part. Like, I think I have, as we've talked before, I'm not sure if on this show or just to each other, I think for a long time, I have been struggling with some form of depression that I've just been telling myself I'm not in because I'm working so much on my mental health. And I really think within the past few months of just being like, I don't care. I think I have been knocking myself out of it because I don't think I'm weighing myself down now with what other people might think of it or me.
It's what you would call radical acceptance.
Yeah.
And radical acceptance is the number one way to get your mental health in a better state of balance. It's just very difficult to do because sometimes it's hard to reconcile things and accept reality as it is. But if you can get that real fuck it attitude, that means you're just at a point where you're like, yeah, that is what it is. And I'm not going to let it bother me because it just is. Like, it just is. I accept it and that's it. I'm not going to have internal tumults over it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and bicker with myself in my head, which I'm really, really good at doing. But it sounds like what you've got going on is just radical acceptance.
It is. I have no control over anything besides what immediate actions I handle. And as long as I feel like I'm managing them in an emotionally intelligent way, done.
Yeah. You know what? I could take a lesson from you and get to where when I start thinking those thoughts, just be like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, it's not helping me. I'm not getting where I want to go by weighing myself down with this.
Thinking on these thoughts, they ain't going to fix anything. So, no. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Oh, what's man. The worst that's going to happen? Somebody's going to be mad at me? Tough shit.
Tough shit. Yeah, I think I've gotten to that point now where I'm like, I worried before about cutting out certain family members that are really close to, like, my parents. Because I still talk to my parents and, you know, I still interact with them. And I see my mom. I saw my mom and my grandma and my niece yesterday because my grandma fell because her hip gave out on her and she has to go, like, maybe possibly have her hip replacement replaced. But, like, I saw my aunt and I was friendly, but I also wasn't like, I'm just not going to go out of my fucking way, man.
That's exactly it. With this Thanksgiving deal where I'm not going, I don't hate a majority of my family members. I just don't relate. Literally nobody goes out of their way to see me.
Yeah.
I'm tired of going out of my way to see them with this obligation that we're supposed to be together as a family on holidays. And I'm like,
it's not an obligation. It's just a social expectation.
What family things do we... What do we do that defines us as a family besides how
do you
blood
treat
relation?
Me like family? Because I don't know that you always do. And I think that's where, like, Joe is definitely not going to any family things the rest of this year. And I told him he doesn't have to. And the only reason I'm going is because of my grandma and my niece.
Yeah, and, like, I'm missing out on grandma, but I'm just like, oh, well, my sister. I do like my sister. But I'm just kind of like, I love you, but I want to feel happy on the holidays. And I don't ever feel happy on the holidays.
I think if my family were trying to do something on the day of Thanksgiving, I wouldn't go at all. But since it's the day before and I'll have time and Joe doesn't have to go, like, I'll just do it. And I'll, if something goes south, I'm just going to leave. I think that's my out, is if, like, one of my relatives, which it's not even going to be very many people. It's basically going to be me, my grandma, my niece, and then my aunt and her husband. And her husband's really the only person that I'm mildly, like, worried about doing a racism because he's
doing
just
doing a racism.
He's a fucking, the little comments that he used, and I used to just let him slip, and now I don't, because I've realized, like, that being not racist, like, you have to be anti-racist. You have to, like, go out of your way to make people feel uncomfortable when they do those things.
Yeah.
Because they should feel uncomfortable. It's such a fucking, what's wrong with people? But I'm going to do it because I know my grandmother is getting up there in years. You know, she's at a point where a fall can put her in the emergency room. It can and will and did this week. So I'm doing it for her. But at the same time, as I'm talking this out with you, I'm also like, you know, I'm not really obligated to do this because I see my grandma and I see my niece and I see them at least once a month, if not every other week.
And the other thing I also think about is I'm like, grandma, while I know she would love to see me more, I'm like, she knows that being close in that area, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is smart enough to understand why the distance is complicated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's... Yeah. Yeah. Basically just yeah. So I think my Thanksgiving is going to be a trial run to see if I'm going to go up there for Christmas Eve like I usually do. Because Christmas Eve is the one, if she wants to go to the candlelight service they have at the church, I'm not going to do that. They can go without me. I don't want to be around those people. They're awful, and it does not make my heart happy to be there at all. It's not even, I'll just endure this. It's actively me wishing I could get out of there every second of being in that building. And yeah, I don't know. I just don't really see the point in continuing to keep these relationships the way they have been just to appease people.
Yeah, just because an older generation believes that we see each other, that means we're family and we're close. And I'm like, no.
No, we're not.
We're not.
You're a piece of shit.
You don't do anything to make us close. You'll call weekly, ask the same questions. There's no interest in my actual life. It's interest in the very minimal things that you talk about that you know. Mm-hmm. No.
It's so crazy because, like, so today is my birthday. I just turned 40.
Happy birthday again.
And right. But, like, I'm not really, I don't really care. Like, it's not a big deal after this. I'm literally going to edit this and upload it, and then I'm going to do nothing for the rest of the evening. I'm just going to do things that make me happy.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to do a party. I don't want to do any of that right now. We're having friends over on the weekends, but, you know, nothing else. And I've gotten one phone call from my grandma, is the only person who's actually called me. And everybody else has texted me, which I expected from, like, my niece. I thought my mom would call me, but she's been sick, so I kind of get it. My dad texts me because saying he loves me over the phone or in person is very difficult. And I know he does. It's just one of those things where I'm like, man, if you really do care, you got to take a second to examine how you're dealing with that.
Yeah.
But it's been literally nobody else as far as family's concerned. And it's because I blocked those motherfuckers on Facebook, and I haven't changed my number in like 15 years. So it's the same fucking number it's always been. So,
yeah.
I'm not upset about it, but it is kind of like, it's just telling, you know, like if you don't have the ease of access to me of Facebook, you're not going to take the extra step to call or text, right?
I mean, if, like, Facebook's not going to remind them.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, that's the other part. Like, do they even know? Tomorrow they might know. But
I'm always proud again, when I catch somebody's birthday really before Facebook reminds me.
Like yours. So there are a few people that I have to keep their birthdays in my phone because I know it's never going to pop up on Facebook for me. Specifically because either they don't have Facebook or, like, they don't keep it on their, like, data. So, like, if it ever occurs to me that I need to store it, I put it in my phone and I just keep it there forever.
You're a friend I care about if you're in my phone calendar.
Yes. I think yours is in my phone calendar, but I'm not 100% certain. I'd have to actually look at it.
Well, I don't expect other people to have mine. I just know that I keep track of it. My life is in my phone calendar, and if you have a birthday in my phone calendar, then I care. Because I genuinely take people out that I don't care about or that I don't want to see.
So I think I usually keep them in there if I know I'm not going to remember otherwise.
I could think, like, I knew today was your birthday for a couple weeks. The day of, I may or may not remember because I feel like on the actual day itself, I'm super distracted by everything else. And it's nothing against anyone else. It's just my brain suddenly.
Unless it's like a weekend. Yeah. Like you get up, you start your routine and you're just not thinking of those things.
Today I was focused on a meeting that I had to have where I knew it was going to be a meeting of pushback and defending their actions. And I was just like, what I'm telling you is not telling you that you're bad at your job. It's just saying that over time we've discovered that this is not the best way to handle things and we need to edit it and adjust our procedures. But of course, it's this defense thing. And I'm just like, no, we all have the same goal. You do a good job, we do a good job, and we create a system of good work.
Right. That's the whole purpose behind data analysis.
And
we
so
can discover
I'm always,
where our gaps are and adjust.
And I am the bridge between IT and my old department, and I have a very specific method that I like to manage, and when it goes off that track of that method, I kind of shut down a little bit because I'm navigating things, and when it goes off, I can't keep it navigated because I also don't want to be rude and talk over people. But so that meeting was just me trying to keep a path of good communication.
I think I finally achieved it, but it took
45 minutes.
Oh, God. That was, so we've got one of our, the head of our IT department. He's not a bad person. He's good at his job, but he's just like, he kind of takes on too much sometimes. And so he stays very busy. And I think he has a difficult time training his team to be as effective as he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he also gets very defensive of his work. And
yeah.
So I get it. Like, I understand it because I used to be super defensive of all my work.
Same.
But at the same time, like this morning, so last week we were looking at some discrepancies between the way that our line scales weigh up products versus what our final actual weight is. And so I was trying to determine where the discrepancy was at. So I was like, well, is this something that I should expect? And it's not really any sort of impact. Or do we need to address this because it could be potentially causing us resin issues because we've been seeing these discrepancies in the weights of our resin. So, like, is that what's causing it? I can't really tell because there's no reporting that gives me that data. But anyway, so he messaged me this morning. Or no, he messaged yesterday evening after I'd already gone from work because I had to go help my grandma get back from the ER. And was like, hey, I think I see what the issue is, but can you put a ticket in for it? And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's how you guys track what you're working on actively. So that makes sense. I'll file a ticket. And so I filed one today and I felt like this program, we're seeing a discrepancy between this program and what the final, you know, produced weight and draw weight for our resin is. And I spoke with Chris about it and here's what he's saying the problem could be. And that was my ticket. I mean, that was it because I knew he already knew what the issue was. I'd already sent him several examples. He sends a response to that email and or to the ticket and was like, actually, I think it's, or no, he said, actually, it's this that's the issue and not this. And here's, and like, it just, the way it read initially, I was like, is he correcting me about something I don't know about? Like, IT is not in my job name, man. If it was, we wouldn't be talking about this.
Yeah.
But I was like, at first I was like, man, I didn't realize he'd get defensive of just me saying something minorly incorrect. And then it didn't occur to me till later because my coworker brought it up that maybe he was correcting himself.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that would make more sense.
Yeah.
Because I do that shit all the time. If I make a mistake and I see it and it's glaring, I'm going to call it out before anybody else notices it.
Yeah.
And 100% of the time, people be like, oh, I would never have seen that. And we're like, well, I know, but I did. And the perfectionist in me demands that I call it out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. The IT person that I was talking to that, like, manages their databases and is the really intelligent one of all their data.
Mm, yeah.
I said, I think everyone gets defensive towards you because I'm like, you know the data really well. And every time you come in with something, you have the receipts in your
yes.
head. And I said, and so what happens is you dump all those receipts quickly and fast. And I'm like, and a lot of times I think they get defensive that you are criticizing them. And I also think that you're going so quick because you're going through all the thoughts in your head that they can't keep up. And she's like, that's good to know. That's very good constructive feedback. And I said, that is the vibe I'm getting. So I said, so that's why I handle things very slow and very, I process with questions and I don't go quickly. And I said, I want to. God knows I want to fly through this and get the meeting done quickly. But not everyone thinks like us. I said, you and I are neurodivergent where we are like, boo, 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 boo. Here's all the stuff. Just do it. It makes sense. We already know. We're smart. Just trust me. And I'm like, and these people, a lot of them think differently, but I understand their side. Like, I see how they view what they're doing is accurate. And from a definition standpoint, it's correct. From a database standpoint, it's not correct. Because I said, our old job is very fluid in what things mean. And I said, and so they kind of push that into the same style as a database. And basically, it's whenever you try and pull reports, it's duplicating stuff 150 times.
Oh, shit.
And so I said, so they're not understanding that this tag that they're putting on stuff is extraordinarily important. And whenever we're trying to do divestitures and things like that, I'm like, this will ease up their life. You have to explain how it's going to benefit them, though, if we do it correctly.
Yeah. And that's a lot of times how people... I think people struggle to get out of their own mindsets with certain things because they get these thoughts in their heads and they start spinning and spinning and spinning, and they get so focused and obsessed with it that it's very difficult to let go. I wouldn't know anything about that as somebody who has severe anxiety.
And I think that's why I understand them so much, especially when you feel that other people coming in that don't understand your job are telling you what to do.
Right. And that's where... go ahead.
No, and I was like, and they do. I'm like, they do understand their job. They just don't see why you are pushing against it. And I at least understand why you're pushing against it. And I'm like, I want to break down that definition for you.
Yeah, and that's where I think I've gotten a lot better about that, where, like, my coworker criticizing some of the data analysis I was doing just because it wasn't wrong, the numbers weren't wrong, but he was just like, look, the data could just be flawed because of where the source is. And I was like, so upset because you're 100% right. And as you're saying it, I know you're right. And I'm only upset because I spent so much time working on this. And now that you're saying it that way, I'm like, man, you're right. These numbers could be wrong, which I guess it did lead us to have to file that ticket that I filed because that's the discrepancy I was seeing.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, it could be that they're doing this and that particular system, since it's separate, is retaining numbers that it shouldn't be. Oh, God, I didn't think about that because I never worked the line. So I never think about how that specific line scale program works.
Yeah.
And so, but he did it for like 9 years. And so he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And so after he said that, I was simultaneously like, oh, you motherfucker. But also like, well, I've got to adjust this entirely.
always laugh.
We've got, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was like, I always laugh when I'm trying to resolve an issue that I don't really know the system that well. And so today I was like, I'm going to discuss this with you. Bear with me. I don't fully know what I'm saying, but it was dealing with Aegis.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's mapping.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wait. I know what Aegis. Okay. Now the letters make sense. Got it.
Yeah. I was like, I say it so much that I know what it means, but, yeah, like I was dealing with that today and I was like, all right, so we're trying to deal with this situation. And is this a field name that we would use or should we be using this field name? And so then we kind of discussed the situation more and they're like, everything they said, I'm like, oh, this makes sense. Yes. But then I also had the hard time not going, well, why do we do it that way? That is so messed up.
I ask those questions all the time. And sometimes I've gotten now to where I've learned that there are times I'm kind of overstepping like my job responsibility.
I leave those questions out because people get.
So it's not that I'm overstepping my bounds and most people don't care. It's that I'm overstepping my job responsibility. And I've realized that I will end up doing work that nobody else cares about.
God. Yeah. Or I'll go down a rabbit hole of chasing down a problem that's not mine to chase.
Yeah. So, well, and it was sort of mind chase because we have this one specific raw material that we order that we use all the time. And we have so much loss from this one particular item. And we have like hundreds and hundreds of raw materials that we order and use. But this one specific item will cost us well over like $75,000 to $80,000 in a 3 to 4 month period in extra loss. Yeah. After we already account for a specific scrap rate of the item. And so it's additional scrap that we haven't accounted for, and we just continue to write it off. And I keep like bringing it up to people, and everyone's like, wow, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Sounds and like a problem.
I know. And then they came back and they're like, we need to redo our edge guards, which is just the little cardboard thing that goes on the edge of pallets of products to keep them from like getting banged up in transit.
Yeah.
And I want you to know, over the course of 6 months, edge guards might cost us $5,000 in loss. And I'm just like, you guys have started this whole project for this particular set of items that isn't really a problem. Like, it's not, I get that we have loss for it and the raw numbers look bigger, but it's because each one of those things costs like 3 cents.
Yeah.
So it's funny because they'll get hung up on the raw numbers of a loss on a product or raw material and not look at the cost to the business. And I'm just like, I am not a business analyst. That's not my job. Those people get paid way more than I do. And I should be getting paid more because that's part of what I've been doing. So I'm not doing it anymore because until you like, yeah, anyways,
I love how therapy was work today.
It was just work today because we were in better headspaces. So.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the US or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.